This is Ocean Commotion, the 7-part series about the effects of global change on Southeast Alaska.
From whale migration to sea star disease, Sitka is one shell of a place, and we are sure you'll love this podcast as much as we loved being here.
So welcome to this episode of the podcast. Today we're going to be covering the story of sea star wasting disease. I'm Iris.
I'm Raven.
And I'm Nathan.
COVID isn't the only disease we have to worry about. A marine disease hit the sandy shores of Sitka called sea star wasting disease.
Do you guys know that sea stars, those fascinating creatures that we've seen in the tide pools or on the beach, are in trouble?
Yeah, it's crazy you bring that up because I remember like almost a couple of years ago, I tide pooling and I remember them sea stars being all over the reef. And as of recently, I've definitely seen a reduction in these species. I'm really curious to what that is.
Yeah, unfortunately, over the past few years, a deadly disease known as sea star wasting has been wiping out entire sea star populations, including one of the most important predators in the kelp forests of Sitka Sound.
You mean like Patrick Star?
Oh my god, no, the sunflower sea star.
Marine diseases are not a new thing, but they have become increasingly common and more severe in recent years.
That's so insane. Why is that, do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. As the climate is changing, that's kind of a direct result of the ocean's warming and temperature, and I think that definitely is a cause for the increased spread in disease, and all these natural processes and chemical reactions also tend to speed up with rising heat. So we cannot rule that out as a culprit for sea star wasting disease.
Wow. So when did this disease actually start?
Well, in 2013 to 2015, sea star populations along the Pacific coast of North America, so from Baja California all the way to Alaska, have been hit the hardest by this deadly disease, and it's causing sea stars to just disintegrate right before our eyes.
Yeah, that's interesting because as a tide pooler myself, I feel like I saw these sea stars actually doing this. I remember them drooping from rocks and looking very sad and decrepit, almost like these white spots would form all over their body. And it was really sad. And I wonder if that's what I saw. Was that sunflower like star wasting in front of my eyes?
It seems like it would be. If you've seen these symptoms, it most likely is sea star wasting disease. The disease can sadly kill the star within a few days.
That's really scary to think about.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I'm wondering if this disease only affects the sunflower star.
I think this disease affected actually many species of sea stars, not just the sunflower star. But I think that this disease affected the sunflower star a lot more than other species. As you think of a sea star, you kind of think of like a rigid object. Like if you picture yourself picking up a sea star, it's kind of like flat and rigid in your hands. Mm-hmm. But when you go to pick up a sunflower star, it's more like droopy and kind of like almost sad looking. But that's just because they're soft-bodied sea stars and they use water pressure to hold themselves together. So they can tend to be a little bit more vulnerable when it comes to diseases.
How many other sea star species can be affected by sea star wasting disease?
It's got to be like 40, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow, that seems super serious.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can save our beloved sea stars?
Well, even as we speak, people are working to help protect and restore the sea star populations. Scientists are trying to find new methods such as captive breeding to help replace the populations that we're losing, and citizen science programs are also engaging the public to help monitor sea star populations, getting people out there on the coasts and just report any signs of disease, which is super cool.
Yeah, don't get me wrong here, but why should we care about these sea stars? I totally understand. I love seeing them in the tide pools, but what is their importance to a marine environment? That's kind of been on my head lately.
Well, sea stars actually play a vital role as predators. They have the ability to shape and structure many oceanic communities single-handedly, especially with managing urchin populations.
Well, what's up with the urchin populations? Like, why should they be kept in check?
Yeah, I think from what I remember is these urchins, they're normally living in cracks and crevices along the reef and feeding on seaweeds that are coming to them. But with no predator, they're starting to come out of these cracks and litter the reefs like in the thousands. And they will just form this front and demolish an entire forest. And I think that can happen into like, I want to say like 3 days. I've seen like
my God,
pretty dramatic change along the kelp forest.
Wow, that sounds like a bummer. Scuba diving would become so boring if the only thing you could see is pesky urchins. It makes sense that kelp forests should be protected along with the many species that they house.
Yeah, losing housing is never fun, especially when it's not your fault. Some of my fellow college students may understand how hard it is to find housing, especially when there's not a lot of options around.
Yeah, it can be hard sometimes. But mainly, I just want to talk about here in Alaska, like some of the fishes, such as herring, will actually use these kelp plants as spawn for their eggs. So I think they're really important in maintaining in that way. As without kelp plants, they're definitely going to be more competition on other subsets of seaweeds.
Yeah, and don't forget about the many marine mammals that also rely on kelp forests for food and shelter. Kelp forests seem pretty important and complicated, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. Sea star wasting disease seems to be a pretty heavy topic when it comes to keeping balance in the nature. Who knows what other marine diseases might appear in the future as the ocean continues to change?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible as the ocean keeps warming, especially at a faster rate nowadays, we're definitely might see more marine diseases. As tragic as that is, it seems to be the new reality. And I think that's definitely something we should keep our eyes out and note if that's happening.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a good idea for us to stay conscious about what the effects of global change are and what the consequences might be. With that in mind, thanks for tuning in. This has been Raven.
This is Nathan.
And Iris.
And we hope you learned something with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ocean Commotion is made up of undergraduates from the University of California in Santa Cruz who report to you about your local marine systems in partnership with Raven Radio and Sitka Sound Science Center.
We'd like to acknowledge that for the past month, we have been doing our research on Tlingit land. The Tlingit people have been indigenous to this land for over 10,000 years. Gunaltish to the Tlingit people for their stewardship of Tlingit Ani since time immemorial and today.